Monday, September 19th, I had that rare, delicious feeling of having been given a day of time. I had allotted all of Monday to accompany Lyndon on a trip, but had been on his schedule with a question mark. He didn't go, and suddenly a whole full day was mine to dispose of. It's like winning at the horse races, waking up and feeling that it's suddenly spring, or being 20 again. But there was a dark cloud over the first part of it because of the death of James Moyers, Bill's brother. We went to the funeral in the morning. There's something particularly sad about a funeral away from home, and home was Marshall. And James Moyers was only 39 and had two young children. Back at the White House, I worked for an hour on my speeches. Always, just before I leave on a trip with a series of speeches, I approach a feeling of panic. I'm not ready. I can't get ready. How can I escape? The only way to emerge from it, for me, is to work on them. Winnow out any thoughts or phrases that I do not feel comfortable with, that are not the essence of my thinking. Read them enough to get familiar with them and to get the most out of them. When a day came for lunch, hamburgers in the bedroom, and we talked about Operation Wedding Presents. A few things are still coming in, mostly of the potholder type. We sent the state gifts to the archives. Willie Day had gotten off a list of all of the chiefs of states and their gifts with form of address to Lucy, and she's been sending back her thank you letters to be mailed here. Handwritten ones, and very delightful ones, too. I've read several. Willie Day tells me about others. Alas, the list of friends is still long, probably 500, for whom we'd like to have handwritten replies. I asked her to get together an immediate list, beginning with President Truman, and said either she or I must check about every second day on how Lucy was coming. I phoned Lucy and suggested that she set a quota for a week. Did she think she could manage 50? No, she thought closer to 30. I reminded her that all those handwritten ones should go out before Christmas. Otherwise, we'd simply have to type them up here. And as for Willie Day, she thinks this operation can be closed up within a couple of weeks. And after that, she'll take a vacation. And then what? She is not sure. There were, I gathered, 4 more years before retirement. I want her to feel there will always be a place in our organization as long as we are living and have one for her. But it is not the same with George gone. Next, I spent 3 full hours working on my speeches, taking time off to go downstairs and look at the podium and have adjustments made for height. It was too low for comfort. There has to be a compromise between the height I'd like to have it to read my cards from and the very low podium, or none, which photographers would prefer. I felt much easier in my mind when I finished. Actually, these speeches are rather good. I feel totally in character. I'm doing what I like to do, and the words flow. I approach it with more ease. Then Lyndon called me to come in the yellow room and meet some ambassadors. He had 8 of them in for coffee and to bid them farewell, among them John Hayes, who's off to Switzerland, and Carol Lace, a very attractive woman from the State Department, who's going out to Nepal, and Alexis Johnson to handle the very delicate position in Japan. I spent a little while working with Ashton on the desk. And then I went bowling, expecting to be alone, but just stopped by Lyndon's office to see if he'd go with me. Yes, he would. Just wait a minute. It took 30 minutes to dislodge him. And then on the way out, we met James Webb, who said, "Just a minute, Mr. President, I have a memo I want to give you." Lyndon simply gathered him up and said, "How about going bowling with us?" So the 3 of us went over to the bowling alley. There was a call or two, and then Hubert and Muriel joined us, and Patsy Webb, and we ended up by the 6 of us having a good game, in which, for the first time in my entire life, I beat Lyndon 1 game. He beat the others. I called home to tell the kitchen there'd be 6 for dinner. It was the most delightful, cozy time, sort of like being neighbors in a small town and finding you could take the evening off. Jim Webb is one of the most capable, tough, high-class government servants I've ever met. The roster of top jobs he's held is lengthy. Budget director, high post in the State Department, now head of NASA. Bringing him back into government is one of Lyndon's achievements, I think, and my admiration for someone who can turn his back on making a large amount of money to remain in government service is very great. Besides that, he's fun and handsome, and Hubert is always a delight to have around, full of high spirits and humor and good stories. I couldn't have chosen two couples I'd more enjoy to spend an evening with. We went upstairs to Hubert's office, somewhere rather close to where Lyndon's office as vice president was. Though that was a shadowy thing to me, and I never felt as part of it as I did all of his offices on the Hill. Then we came over for a good dinner, preceded by a leisurely drink and laced with good conversation. And then my exercises, at which I've been rather diligent, a massage and bed by 12.